So we are talking about the 25 most popular icebreaker questions that are based on 4 years of data. So Dan, the idea here is these people were they studied these things for had 4 years worth of data checking out which ones are the best.
So there's a company called Know Your Company.
Yeah,
and they specialize in helping employers get to know their employees better and employees getting to know each other better. So after 4 years of kind of crunching the numbers, hearing feedback from people, here were the ones that they said elicited the best response.
Okay. So these are questions that for people to get to know their coworkers a little bit better?
Right. Okay. And employers.
Employees.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what we got here. Let's see. What was your first job? By far, the question has prompted the most interesting responses from the companies we work with. Employees are always find it hilarious to learn that their boss's first job was like a pool boy, or it's fascinating that a coworker's first job was working in her mom's doctor's office. Well, it's an unassuming question. The responses stand out. Dan, what was your first job?
I was a research assistant for a grad student. We've talked few times in the past. I was part of an organization called the Young Chicago Authors
right.
in high school.
Right.
And one of the things they did was find us summer jobs. And one of the people involved in the program was a grad student. He didn't have a time to narrow down some of the papers he would need to read for his grad student thesis. Mm. So I went and I gathered a bunch of information to kind of compiled it down to being like, here are the ones that come up most often that you probably need to read.
And this was just a summer job?
Yep.
Yeah. And just the 1 year?
Yep.
That was your first job?
That was my first job.
Okay, so that's an icebreaker right there. Esmeralda, have we talked about what your first job was?
Yep, Baker Square.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Did you ever have to clean up after Dan and his gang?
No, I was in Joliet.
You were in Joliet.
Joliet Baker Square.
Okay. Did you use that non-motorized vacuum?
Ugh, yes. Thing's the worst.
Cheryl hated that thing. Our favorite
picked up
there.
Nothing.
Yeah, it was just it's like a sweeper, right? It's like a rug
yeah,
sweeper.
It's got a rotating brush in it.
Yeah,
but it's just supposed, I guess, whatever action that is, the brush is supposed to move it around and then it'll pull it up. But it never did.
Never worked. All right, Baker Square. That's right. I forgot about that. My first job was at a hot dog stand on Lincoln Avenue. I think I worked 2 days because the guy who owned the place was a cokehead who was like having an affair with a 17-year-old girl. So I was like, yeah, I quit. But then I guess the very first job that I had that actually, you know, I kept was McDonald's. I think a lot of people have first jobs. McDonald's is a pretty popular first job, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think our current Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, his first job was at McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of celebrities, their first jobs have been McDonald's.
Yeah. All right, here's another question for the icebreakers. Have you ever met anyone famous? This question is a fun one as it taps into the people that your coworkers admire. Folks bond over their mutual love for Jude Law or have a laugh over when a manager shares her story about meeting LeBron James at a gas station. Dan? I mean, obviously, because of the jobs that we have, we've met famous people.
Right.
But, like, I think this just means, like, brush with fame.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
What about you?
My favorite is that I met Kevin White in Holy Name Cathedral for Mass one morning at 6 a.m.
Oh, man. All right. Esmeralda, what about you?
Oh, yeah, I met Michael Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
That story that I met him and he was drunk at the bar.
Yeah. Michael Shannon, boy, he's all over the place.
And I bought him a drink.
Oh, good for you.
But he was drunk. I don't even think he drank.
He was drunk.
I was trying to get him on the podcast.
But he was drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Not like at that very moment. Like, I was just trying to, like, get some info. He did give me an email.
Oh, okay.
And I emailed him, but no one answered.
He's a, he's a good guy. He's a strange cat, but he's a good guy.
Right. No, I believe it.
No, yeah. And, you know, he has done theater here for many, many years, and we used to cross paths a lot doing doing theater, but he's just like everywhere now. He's in 12 Strong. He's in The Shape of Water. He's in the Waco miniseries. I mean, he's in like 10 things, and he's doing a play. He directed a play here in Chicago. I don't know where he finds the time. Have I ever met anyone famous? I have, yes. But I think my favorite story was the John C. Reilly story on the subway. John C. Reilly I'm sitting on the subway red line coming down here to work, and all of a sudden there's John C. Reilly. Just walks in. He's got like luggage with him, like on a roller, just standing there very quiet. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he knew. I mean, you could tell that he was like, uh oh, he recognized me. You know what I mean? But I didn't want to go over and bother him. I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. You know, I could have walked up to him and said, hey, shake and bake, you know, or something really obnoxious. But I just sat there quietly, you know, and he was just, nobody was bothering him, and I didn't want to make a big deal about it. But it's John C. Reilly, man. he's the king. So I got up. As I was getting up, he was standing right by the door. As I was getting off, I said, you're a great actor, and you were effing great in Magnolia. That's all I said to him, and he said, oh, thanks, man. And then I got off the train.
You have good luck with actors named John, because I thought you were going to go John Mahoney.
Oh, Mahoney. Esmeralda, do you know the John Mahoney story?
I'm not sure.
This was when I was a drinking man. I was at O'Rourke's, which at that time was right across the street from the Steppenwolf. As we all know, John Mahoney is a very famous Steppenwolf ensemble member, and he was doing a play at Steppenwolf, and many times after plays at Steppenwolf, people would go across the street and have cocktails at O'Rourke's. And so my friends and I were there. We tend to act like idiots when we were at O'Rourke's. That's when we ran and followed Edward Herman into the bathroom so we could pee next to Edward Herman. We scared Edward Herman away. But anyway, he comes in. Mahoney comes in. He's got like three or four people. They're at the end of the front, right front of the front of the bar, right by the front door. And I'm with my friends, and I'm like, I'm going to go over and say hi. And I had met him. He was interviewed by Roy a couple of times, and I was, you know, I sat in on the interviews, but he wouldn't remember me from Adam. You know what I mean? So I've had a few, and I walk up, I walk up to him, and I scream, "I'm incarcerated, Lloyd," which is my favorite line in Say Anything. And he starts laughing, and he shakes my hand, and I go, okay, I just wanted to say that to you. And I walk back and sit down. And so this is the best. This is my favorite part of the whole thing. Entertainment Weekly did an anniversary celebration of Say Anything. I think it was 20 years. The movie was 20 years old. And they did like a big special reunion where they interviewed everybody. And, you know, a reporter asked John Mahoney, hey, are you surprised at the staying power of this movie and how people really still love it? And he says, yeah. And you know, how people really love, you know, some of their favorite lines. And he says, yeah, I was sitting at a bar one time in Chicago, and this drunk guy came up to me and screamed, "I'm incarcerated, Lloyd." And I'm reading this, and it's like, hey, that was me. I'm that drunk idiot who went up to Mahoney and said, "I'm incarcerated, Lloyd." So I made the Entertainment Weekly. My idiot, obnoxious, stupid self. It's still my favorite line in the movie. I'm incarcerated, Lloyd. It's the best. So, all right, more ice-breaking questions. If you would like to jump in, what was your first job? Have you ever met anybody famous? You want to jump in here? We're breaking the ice and having some talking. We've been doing a lot of this coworker stuff lately on the show, right, Esmeralda? We've been paying compliments to one another. And what else? We did another topic that was coworker related, right? Didn't we?
No, it was the compliments that would drive men or women crazy.
Oh, right.
Right. They meant crazy in a good way. Yeah. We took it crazy in a bad way.
Right. Yeah, that was fun, Esmeralda. We passed judgment on all of those stupid things.
As we should have.
Yeah. All right, so more icebreaker questions. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. We have to take a break here for weather and for traffic. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. 720 WGN. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey time. That'll be coming up in a little bit. Right now, though, we're talking about the most popular icebreaker questions compiled by Know Your Company. It's a group that tries to improve relationships between employers and employees as well as coworkers and all of that stuff. So we're throwing out some questions. The first couple that we threw out was, what was your first job? Have you ever met anyone famous? These are fun icebreakers. And if you want to jump in with maybe your stories and answering these questions, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talking text. Let's go to the phones. Here's Janice on WGN. Hi, Janice.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
My first job was as a file clerk right out of high school, and that's what made me decide to go to college.
Ah.
Because I knew I didn't want to do this all my life.
You didn't want to do the file clerk thing, no.
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 And it was at the insurance exchange building downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Woody Harrelson in Las Vegas. He was sitting at a table by himself, and I didn't want to bother him, so I recognized him instantly, and he was just sitting there by himself, and I just walked over to him and said hello. And he said hello back, and I was so excited.
Yeah, he's great. Woody Harrelson is great. All right, Janice, thanks for the stories.
Okay, thank
Take
you.
Take care. You know, by the speaking of Woody Harrelson, last night, because you know they have that that block, Dan, that I watch, you know, depending on how much sleep I get on Sunday nights on MeTV at 10 o'clock. It's The Honeymooners. At 10:30, it's The Odd Couple. At 11 o'clock, it's Cheers. At 11:30, it's Bob Newhart. And at 12 o'clock, I'm In Your Car. That's usually what it does. And last night was the Cheers series finale. So good. I forgot how good it was when he straightens the picture. Oh, so good. I was so happy that it was on. I was like, oh my God, it was, because it was a three-part. I remember it was a three-parter. It was 90 minutes long. That member, and then remember they were all on the Tonight Show when they were all blasted? When they were Esmeralda, did you watch Cheers when you were?
I didn't, no.
No, God, it's such a good show. I mean, it really is. And that was that episode is just fantastic. It's, anyway, speaking of Woody Harrelson. Okay, here's the next question of the icebreaker. What are you reading right now? People are always looking for something new to read, so swapping book recommendations can be a great way for people to know each other. Learning what others are reading also provides insights into your coworkers' interests. Dan, are you reading anything right now?
No books. I do read Time and Sports Illustrated Weekly.
Those are the ones that you dig into. Esmeralda, you reading anything right now?
Right now, I am reading. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name.
Must be good.
No, it's it's a nonfiction book.
Oh,
it's about the history of immigration. It's called The Making of Asian America.
The Making of Asian America.
Yeah, so it's essentially talking about immigration to the U.S. of all the different Southeast Asian, Chinese, Japanese, like everybody, like how they came over to the U.S.
Oh, that's interesting.
And pretty much Canada and Latin America and everything.
Do you... are you reading the hard copy of the book, or are you reading it on like a Kindle, or
no, a hard copy?
Yeah, I prefer that.
Yeah, I don't like that. I want something in my hands that I can change. I can turn the pages.
I agree 100%. I am currently reading Steve King's brother's book. Steve King's brother Lee has written a memoir called Safe Inside, and it's lovely. It really is, Dan. It really is. I mean, I'm really loving his book.
Good. Glad to hear that. We're hoping to have him on in the next few weeks.
Yeah. So, Steve King's brother Lee has written a book called Safe Inside. And I really am loving it because a lot of it is about him just loving going to the movies and describing some of those incredible, old, beautiful, glorious theaters, particularly the Avalon on the South Side. It's a really terrific book. That's what I'm reading right now. All right. Let's see. Here's the next question. If you could pick up a new skill in an instant, what would it be? If you could pick up a new skill in an instant, what would it be? With this question, you'll learn how your coworkers want to grow or what they aspire to do. For instance, you might learn that a coworker would love to be able to pick up Italian instantly, or that your boss has always wanted to be good at woodworking. All right, Dan, what skill would you like to acquire if you could?
I'll go time management. Just better use of my time. Get things done more efficiently.
Wow, man.
That's such a work interview answer.
Well,
but you're already...
Part of the problem is I'm always working, so I'm hoping to not be able to not work as much.
But, I mean, but you, you're good at that already. Like, you know?
I wish I could be better, so...
Wow, yeah. Man. Wow. All right. Because, I mean, I think you're, you know, I mean, personally, I think you're phenomenal at your job.
Well, thank you. But it also means that I'm working from 3 to 11:50 every day.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I can understand that. You'd want to have more free time to do that. But you work your ass off, man. You're the best. Esmeralda, what about you? Is there a skill that you would?
I would. There's so many. I would love to learn French. Just to have French.
Okay.
I think that language is gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What would I want to have a big skill at doing? I guess, you know, to be a great cook, like to be a chef, that would be something, because I love to cook and I'm good at it, you know, but you could always improve and always be better, and it's something that I love to do. I'd also love to be able to have more time to do that, or to cook for other people, which I never do. So, but yeah, I guess that's what I'd like to do. All right, we got some people who are calling in, and we threw out some icebreaker questions. What was your first job? Have you ever met any famous people? What are you reading right now? If you could pick up an instant skill, what would it be? And here's Alan on WGN. Hey, Alan.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was answering that earlier question of who you've met famous. Cleveland Little was my roommate in school.
No, really?
Yeah, at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York.
Oh, wow. He was the best, man.
Oh, he was. He was a great person, too.
Yeah, that's good to know.
And through him, I met a lot of people like Juanita Hall, James Earl Jones. I used to call him Jimmy. James Earl Jones.
Wow.
Early in his career, he used to come over to our place for parties.
Wow.
The most impressive person I've ever met in my life, again, was through Cleve, was Langston Hughes.
Oh, boy. Wow.
And that was like a couple of years before he died. That makes me very old, I guess.
That's very impressive. I got to say, Alan, I know, since you were, you know, his roommate and you were friends with him, there is a little scene movie that Cleavon Little was in that I loved and I think he's great in. Have you seen the movie High Risk?
Yes. I don't remember it. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was like 81, I think. And it's James Brolin. It heads up a pretty good cast. Cleavon Little is terrific in it. He's really, it's one of my favorite Cleavon Little roles. So... Yeah, that's good. That's good to know.
My favorite movie still remains Blazing. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just...
It had everybody in it, yeah. And it was absolute phenomenal. Cleve was in a play, and I can't remember the name. It was, this was, again, early in his career, while we were still in school. McBird, that's what it was.
Okay.
The actor who does all the commercials on TV for Gold.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember. I know who you're talking about, though. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in it. He played the Bobby Kennedy role.
Mm. Wow.
And right. That was fun because back in those days, we didn't have any money. And I used to go see the play a couple times a week because it was an impressive date. And I could get in free.
There you go. That's great.
So I used to see that play.
All right. All right, Alan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Cleavon Little, man. He was great. Okay, we got a break for the news coming up here on 720 WGN. Oh, yes. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Yeah, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. That's all coming up. We've been talking about great icebreaker questions that you can get to know your coworkers by and your bosses and all that cool stuff. We threw out a bunch of questions and we have some people who are calling in and answering them. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. So I had the opportunity once at LAX. I was at the Admirals Club at LAX, and I'm sitting there just having a drink before my flight, and up comes, I think her name is Lisa Wetchel or Lisa Welch.
Blair?
From,
Blair from...
Blair, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and she was like, you know, she was like that first TV... that, you know, when I was a teenager.
Yeah, I understand.
And I'm sitting there completely flustered. You know, here I am, 50-something years old, and I can't talk to this woman that I've seen on TV forever. It was hysterical.
That's funny,
finally,
man.
I get up, I go, you know, you were my first TV love. And I just want to thank you, and I walked away.
Nice. Yeah. I'm sure she's used to that, I would guess. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Have a good day.
All right, John. Take care. Yeah. Blair from Facts of Life, Esmeralda.
Oh, boy.
Blair. let's see. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, you were talking about... one of the things you'd like to learn to do better.
Yeah.
One of the things I could recommend highly is take a knife skills course, like a culinary school. Because
mm-hmm.
if you did that, everything else that you do in your cooking and stuff is going to improve like crazy. My daughter's bought that for me, and I thought it was so really great. It helped out make me a better cook, a better chef around the house. And then simple things like how to maintain your knives.
Yeah.
They always talk about that stuff because a dull knife is actually a lot more dangerous than a sharp one.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. No, my knife skills are pretty good, Steve, but I mean, I could obviously improve. And, you know, they used to offer classes at the knife shop in Merchandise Mart.
Chopping Block.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still do.
They still do?
Yeah, they still do a lot of different types of classes.
Yeah. I was going to go there. Heather and I were going to join up and take a couple of classes there, but we never did, and I regret that now.
You know, you can go by yourself.
I know. I realize that. But it's been such a long time.
Oh, no. Well, there's still classes.
I know.
Okay.
I understand.
And then I've told you this story before, but I met George Hamilton at a ski lift in Aspen, and he was the nicest guy. Super tan. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unbelievable tan, and his teeth were so perfect white, and he was just a nice guy. We skied together for the rest of the day and had lunch. It was a really great experience.
Very cool. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
Take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How about this? Let's see. Next question. Who's someone you really admire? Understanding who someone looks up to reveals a significant amount about a person's influences, preferences, and outlook on life. This is a great question to ask to get a sense of what and who a person values. But you, Esmeralda, if I ask you that question, who's someone you really admire?
Ugh. So this is what I hate when they ask stuff like this in an interview, because you're just like, ah.
Because there's so many.
Right, you know? And I don't have one that I just immediately go, so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
No?
Elizabeth Warren has been kind of up there.
Yeah, she rules.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Like, there's like all of those kind of, you know, political women.
Have you seen Kate McKinnon do her? Ginsburg?
Yeah,
it's hysterical.
Yeah, and I read something recently that said that Ruth approves.
Yeah. She did it this. She just did it this weekend on SNL. Dan, anybody you admire?
I know this is cliche, but my parents.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know, right? You know, my dad, hardest worker I've ever met, great human being, fine man. And then my mom, you know, obviously come from Puerto Rico, barely knowing English, you know, decided to make her way out here after being in the Peace Corps and in the convent for a couple years. So I'm very glad that she chose not to go with either one of those routes to come to Chicago.
All right, what is that about? Because my mom wanted to be a nun.
What?
When she was younger.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't take her because she was too young.
Right. I mean, I just think that was for a lot of folks in Latin America and in that part of the world, that was one of the options.
You know? Yeah. Interesting. You know, obviously my parents... I'm a really big fan of both Obamas. I think Michelle and Barack are both incredible people that I admire very much. People that I've worked with, I've admired greatly. I really, really admire Jimmy DiCastro. You know, for what he accomplished here and just his work and how smart he is. That's a guy that I looked up to, you know? He doesn't work here anymore, but
right.
but he's still way up there on the list of people that I admire. You know, and obviously there are tons more writers. Oh, George Saunders. Have you ever read any George Saunders, Esmeralda?
No.
Do you know who he is?
I do not.
He's a short story writer. I think he might be the best American writer alive today. He's from Chicago, also Southside. Been on the show a bunch of times, and he's. I'll bring a couple books in. For you, if you want to read him, he is an extraordinarily talented writer, like ridiculous. And I know that you like to read books,
yeah.
So,
and one of Bill Leff's best friends growing up.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah. He's just a shockingly talented man. Bill Leff, I mean. Oh, wait a minute. All right, hang on a second. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How you doing?
All right.
I have an answer to the question of somebody famous you've met. It was back in the day, Blackhawks old stadium, and it was a Blackhawks Flyers game. My buddy turned 21, and he'd never been to a hockey game before, but he was a huge fan, so I paid for us to go, and we're walking down to our seats, and it was Section A, row C, seats 2 and 3. As we're on our way down to the seats, I see somebody I recognize in C1. We sit down, and I realize it's Mark Grace.
Oh.
Didn't want to freak out at all, so I didn't say anything for about 5 minutes. Then I just made a little bit of small talk, and he asked, you know, what we were doing there, and I told him I brought my buddy out for his birthday. We talked a little bit. After the first period, he left, and then, like, 5 minutes later, comes back with a hockey stick signed to the birthday boy from Eric Lindros and Mark Grace, because apparently they were friends. I was so mad after that game, because we're driving home. My buddy had no idea who Mark Grace was. He was one of my favorite players. And I said, dude, you got this hockey stick. And I got nothing. I got literally nothing from this entire scenario.
That's great. And that was at the old madhouse?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's outstanding. That's a great story. All right, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, I've been lucky enough to sit in a lot of suites at the United Center. I have a pretty good connection for the Hawks. And we were in one of these fancy, schmancy suites where they have, like, you know, food, it's all food, booze, everything is a full-on bar, and it wasn't like a private, it was like a restaurant. I can't remember what the name of the place is, but these suites are ridiculous, and there's a red curtain that you can pull behind you when you're out watching the game. So it's me and three of my idiot friends who have no business being in this place, and we walk in, and in next to us, Dan, did I ever tell you this story? Next to us.
No.
And at these suites, you can talk to the people next to you. They're not like walled off or anything. So next to us is Ryan Dempster and his kid. Okay, so you know Ryan Dempster?
Yeah.
Okay. So, did I tell you this, Dan?
I don't think you did.
Okay, so Ryan Dempster is there, and we start freaking out because we're all, you know, we're Cub fans, and Ryan Dempster is one of the coolest guys ever, and he was fantastic. And so we're like, oh man, hey Ryan, he was couldn't have been nicer until. We started giving his kid candy.
Well, one, you're strangers giving a little boy candy.
No, it wasn't. That's not the thing, you know, but like we were like, the kid was really adorable and he was very happy, but we gave him a bunch of candy. And this is like 9:30 at night. You know, we're like in the, he's like, so the kid starts getting all, you know, like about a half an hour later that, you know what I'm talking about, Dan.
Yeah.
Kid starts getting all loopy. And Dempster kind of looks at us. He goes, "Thanks, you know, you guys. This is all your fault. I got to drive home with this kid in the back seat." And he ended up leaving in the middle of the third period.
Oh no!
Yeah, we got We got Ryan Dempster's kid all high on sugar, and then he had to deal with it. So I'm sure he got to bed like midnight that night. But that was fun. He was cool as hell, Ryan Dempster, as you would imagine. You ever meet Ryan Dempster?
I never met him, but my kind of brush with him was he was walking out of St. Ben's Church one time late at night, and he and his son were having a snowball fight.
Oh. So. He was probably all hopped up on sugar from us.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We got a break here. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, and then we'll get back to some more ice-breaking questions. If you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200. We've got some texts coming in. We were talking about some of these icebreaker questions. We'll get back to that. Len said, my first brush with fame was Cassius Clay in front of Roosevelt Theater in Chicago. That's pretty cool. My most recent is Graham Nash and David Crosby at the Raffles Hotel in Singapore.
Wow.
Okay. 815 area code says, my new skill would be juggling. My son juggles, and I'm very envious. Have him teach you.
Right?
Yeah.
You got a good teacher there.
Billy says, I met Red Fox and Slappy White in Las Vegas. That's it right there. This one takes the cake right there. I was at a store and they came walking in. They were laughing and soon the entire store was laughing. I walked up and said that I love Sanford and Son. He shook my hand and thanked me. Then he gave the cashier $20 for something that only cost $2.
Well, that's nice.
Cool guy. Red Fox. The best. Okay, here are another icebreaker question here. Seen any good movies lately that you'd recommend? Perhaps you've asked this question before, but don't overlook it. Movies are a great shared conversation topic and never fails to be one that people like to answer and like to see other people's answer too. Oftentimes people end up going to see them, their movies, and they're recommended, and they can talk about it over lunch, etc. All right, Dan, you seen any lately?
My wife and I actually saw Wonder Woman over the weekend.
Ah!
Oh, there
we
go.
Both very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's good. It's a strong movie. I liked it. Esmeralda, have you seen anything?
Oh, my gosh. Not that I would recommend.
No? You watching anything on the cables?
I'm trying to think what I've seen. Did I see something on Amazon I really enjoyed? Nah.
No?
I'm watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, is it new for you?
Yeah.
So good, man.
Yeah, I doubted it in the beginning, and I still kind of do. I'm on the second season.
Rachel Bloom is awesome.
Yeah, it's good, but then there's moments like where I'm just like, oh, you need to give it up, lady.
Because she's crazy?
Well, it's just
because she's obsessed
much.
With
it's
the
like,
dude? Yeah.
It's too much. Like, yeah. But then, you know, it'll win me over again, and then so I kind of go up and down on that show.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think Rachel Bloom is...
The
just
songs
so,
are
so talented.
The songs are hilarious.
Yeah. So talented, Rachel Bloom. I just think she's great. Movies. Let's see. I didn't see any this week. I didn't see any this weekend. I'll just say Colossal. that's my go-to. all right, here's one. Got any favorite quotes? Personally, I'm a sucker for a good quote. I think it can provide a fascinating look into a person's point of view. Asking about a person's favorite quote is a great way to break the ice and get to know them better. You have a favorite quote?
Not really.
I can't think of anything. I'm
not one.
Especially
to,
when you're put on the spot like that.
Yeah, I'm not really one to read something and go, I gotta keep that one.
Yeah. Dan?
I actually had that happen to me where I was just like, I have to remember this for the rest of my life. There's a writer named James Baldwin. He has a short story called Sonny's Blues about a guy who's overcome addiction. His brother is watching him play the trumpet, and it goes, he and his boys were up there at the risk of madness, death, and destruction, keeping it real. For the story of how we may triumph is never new. It must always be told. It's the only light we have in all this darkness.
Wow.
Goodness.
Wow.
My favorite quote of all time.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow. All right, we need to stop this conversation right now because nobody's going to...
You won the job.
Nobody's going to top that. All right. Here you go. What's your favorite band from 10 years ago? This question always elicits a chuckle or two. You'll find out you shared an embarrassing favorite band from years ago, and you'll find out the generational difference between coworkers' humorous as well.
So what, that's 90...
98.
2008. I'm sorry,
2008. Oh, man, see?
2008.
I always think 90s are 10 years ago.
Nope.
2008. 2008?
Yeah.
I don't even know what...
I got mine.
Those 2000s don't all just mush together, in my opinion.
Mine is Dave. Dave Matthews. That's
2008?
Well, for I've been a Dave Matthews fan since 1996 or 94. So in 2008, yeah. I mean, I was, you know, seeing Dave on a regular basis. By the way, they're coming back to Northerly Island this summer.
Oh. Let's hope it's not on a bus.
See, here's the thing about that.
What? It happened.
Yeah. And the guy was not hired by Dave Matthews, didn't know about it, and the irony... Oh. That it's Dave Matthews Band's bus that did this. One of the most ecologically, you know, active bands that give money, tons of money to environmental issues.
Yeah,
and that's the band that gets this. So, it's just ironic and it pisses me off.
Oh, so,
and anyway, that guy got fired. Dan, 10 years ago, 2008.
That's probably Pete Yorn.
Okay. Nothing, Esmeralda?
God, I'm just going to go with the Beatles.
Well, that's timeless.
I couldn't tell you what was in 2008.
Yeah, I don't...
A lot of T-Pain based upon the Billboard Top 100 charts.
Yeah, that's my favorite. T-Pain.
I pictured you more as a Flo Rida kind of girl.
Buy you a drink.
How about Pitbull? Was he popular in 2008?
Or was he never not popular.
Well, he's Pitbull. He's the man.
When did he start?
I don't know.
I
don't know my history of. I don't know my pit bull history.
When did he come into our hearts?
Okay. Who had the most influence on you growing up? Is a mother, a sports hero, a grandparent, elementary school teacher? This is a question that's touching to hear the answer to, and you get a sense of respect that has shaped your coworkers. Who was the most influence on you growing up?
Parents.
Yeah, Esmeralda?
Yeah, I would say my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if I would have to go into, like, the artistic area, Edgar Allan Poe, John Carpenter. John Carpenter, the first time I saw Halloween was when I realized what a director did. Mm-hmm. And it made me look at movies in a completely different way. So that's one of my, he's one of my influential heroes. But my folks, of course. So, all right. Let's see. I think we got time for one more. What's the first thing you bought with your own money? So you had the money. What was the first thing you bought? Remember?
Had to have been cassettes.
Music?
Yeah, just because.
Yeah.
My parents probably wouldn't care to buy me anything.
What about, Dan, what about you?
Trading cards. Like, Marvel put out trading cards with superheroes on them.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be records. I mean, it's got to be. It's got to be music. So, yeah.
Nick, I got a good one.
Yeah.
The very first thing I bought with my own cash was, I was pretty young, but it was a wooden plaque with a lot of lacquer on it. I remember the thing was shiny. Of John Wayne. It was a clock. A wall clock.
Did you like him?
A John Wayne lacquered wall clock.
I love John Wayne, and I bought it for my mom. But I worked for my uncle on his farm for the whole summer, and he paid me $1,000 at the end of the summer. And he gave the check to my mom, and this is what she did: she cashed it and gave it to me in $1 bills to kind of show me how much money you can make if you work hard. And the first thing I did,
John Wayne.
I remember I stuck two big wads of $1 bills in my I had an acid wash jean jacket. I went to the mall and bought a John Wayne clock.
How mad was that person that he bought it from?
With all the ones.
Walking down the mall with a
so funny.
John, big too.
Well, that's a great way to end the show. Thank you, Vic. That was awesome. Hey, Esmeralda, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Jim Ryan's going to be here to talk music
Very
and
nice.
Grammys. So all that's coming up. News in 5 seconds.